And then, well, before Christmas, really back at the end of November, beginning of December, we were starting to look at some studies around finding our place in the body of Christ, discovering where we fit in and how we can hear and follow the leading of the Spirit of God. And you may remember part of those studies we looked at some gifts that God has given. There were seven basic gifts, and God's given one, at least one of these, maybe more, to each and every person in the body. And I'll just refresh you, those gifts is the gift of preaching. And that's not necessarily standing at the front, as we said, and proclaiming from the pulpit. But preaching, it might be the ability to sort of witness one-on-one with friends. Some people are really gifted at that, being able to share their faith with one another. It might be that you proclaim the word through song. You might be a singer, preaching the word through song. Then another one of those gifts is serving. Another one was teaching. Now that's not the gift of teacher, as we read in Ephesians, but that's a gift where you're able to teach children, young people, maybe teaching other things like perhaps a craft or a skill. The ability to be able to impart knowledge. Then there's the gift of encouragement, being an encourager, an important gift in the body of Christ is the gift of, perhaps it's not considered as important, but as the gift of giving, being able to give. Again, not just money, but other things, you know. Then there's the gift of leading and the gift of showing mercy. And you can find all those in Romans 12, those seven gifts. And they're basic gifts that each and every one in the body has. Then we looked at five gifts that God calls people to. Now these are known as the ministry gifts of Christ. Read them in Ephesians chapter 4. And the five gifts are this: the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. Now I want to develop on what we began, say, back before Christmas, and just look at another man in the scriptures and draw some lessons from him on working for God. And that's the man Nehemiah. And in the Old Testament, in the book of Nehemiah, it's just a short book. It's only 13 chapters long. And Nehemiah shows us some examples, or a good example for the Christian worker, or those who are called to ministry. Now, whether you're calling or gifting is just one of the basic gifts, or whether you're called into an apostolic or prophetic ministry or one of the other of the ministry gifts, we could all take something from Nehemiah. And because time's short tonight, I just want to look at a few things from the first chapter. Because we've been looking, we said before Christmas that we should be using our gifts and the abilities and the talents and the things God has given us. We may not know what God has called us to. We may not know our part, if you like, our part in the purpose of God. But we've all got things that we can do. Gifts that we can impart and use in the church. And I believe it's right that we use those, because we're not going to look at this tonight, but you'll see through the scriptures. And it wouldn't take us long to demonstrate, but you'll see through the scriptures that whenever God called people, he always called people that were busy. He didn't call the people that were sitting there waiting for something to happen. You know, just look at people like Moses. Moses was busy tending his father-in-law's sheep. There are others that were busy. David was busy with the sheep. You know, Joshua was busy serving Moses. The disciples were busy doing their work. You know, Peter and Andrew, James and John were busy in the fishing business. Matthew was busy collecting the taxes. And then Luke was busy when he was sort of ministering to the needs of those under his care as a doctor. Paul was busy. Now he was busy attacking the church. But he didn't stop his zeal. He thought he was doing God's service. He thought he was serving God. And he didn't stop that zeal and that service when he, what we would term, got saved. All he did is he just turned his life around and carried on going the way he was going. So instead of attacking the church, he started promoting Jesus Christ and serving him. But everybody was busy in the thing, doing something. You know, and that's why it's important we use our gifts and we use our talents and we keep busy in the things of God. Because that's where God is going to minister. And we see that in the case of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was busy. Now, he wasn't in his homeland. He wasn't in his the place where he should have been. He wasn't at Jerusalem. He was one of those that had been taken captive, taken into exile. He was in a foreign nation, a nation that didn't know God, a nation that didn't care for God, and he was working in the king's palace. He was a cupbearer to the king. And it says here in Nehemiah chapter 1, it says, these are the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. It came to pass in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the citadel, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came with me from Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, and who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. You see, Nehemiah got a visit from a friend, one of the brethren, one of his close friends. And as always happens when people get together, you know, you like to catch up on the news and find out what's been going on. And you know, Nehemiah here, he asks this man Hanani, he says, so what about the others? What about the brethren? What about how are they doing? And did they escape? You know, have they survived? You know, what about Jerusalem? He wants to know all about his homeland. And and Hanani begins to tell Nehemiah some things about the place. He says, the survivors, verse 3, who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. This isn't news that Nehemiah wanted to hear. He says, the wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates are burned with fire. Now that's, you know, when you ask people, I think perhaps this is the way it is, when you ask people how are they, you normally expect the answer, oh yeah, no, it's good, no, it's going well. You don't want to be here, oh, it's rough, it's tough, and you know, things aren't going right. It's good to tell it if things are going bad. Well, yeah, we can say it. But, I mean, don't have to tell lies and make out that everything's wonderful and marvellous, and if it's not. But you don't normally expect that sort of news. You normally expect to hear, oh yeah, things are going good, and things are great, and this one's growing up, and you know, the children are doing well and at school, and you expect good news. So when you get bad news, like Nehemiah got here, he says this. He says, what's the news? He says, the survivors that are left from the captivity are in great distress and reproach. He says, Jerusalem's walls have been broken down and the gates have been burned with fire. You know, this was Nehemiah's homeland. This was his home city. This is where he came from. And this struck a thing in his heart. Because it says in verse 4, it says, when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. The call of God, or the victor, when I've broken this study down, I'm working for God, into four parts. And the first part is about the vision. Catching the vision. You know, sharing the vision. You know, getting involved in the vision. You know, we could call that the call of God. Because God calls us. God gives us a vision. God gives us, puts his call upon our life. You know, and that's birthed in our spirits through prayer. You know, if we're not people of prayer, it's unlikely we're going to hear from God. Because we're not, if we don't pray, then we're not in tune with God. You know, you can have, things have changed slightly now and things aren't, as difficult as they used to be, but I remember one year for Christmas, I think it was Christmas, it might have been a birthday present, I was still living in London then, so I'd probably been sort of 10, 11-ish, that sort of age, maybe slightly younger. I got bought a radio, and because this was, I had a love of planes. I used to go over to the airport and used to watch the planes coming in and going out. And as a lot of boys my age did at that time around that area where we lived in, we kept logs of the planes we saw coming in and coming out. And we used to go over there, write down their numbers and their registration marks and record it in books. And we talked about it at school, what we'd seen, or if we knew a certain plane was coming in. Through the magazines and things, we found out that these things, you know, we'd look out for them. And I was bought this radio as a, I think it was a Christmas present. And this radio could be tuned in to the cockpits in the aircraft. But it wasn't that easy. You had to get it just right. It had a big dial on the front of it that you used to turn. You used to set the band and turn it. And it was very difficult to tune in to hear the cockpit. Now the radio could always be on, and you knew it was on because it made a hissing noise. But unless it was tuned in, you couldn't hear what was going on in the cockpit. You could get the other stations, you could get music stations on it, there's a normal radio, but it had this short band sort of service where you could just tune in. You could also get, although it was illegal, you could get the police as well. I don't think you could get them to pick them up today, but probably use a different wavelength. And you could tune into the police. But you had to get the tuning just right on this dial. And it's the same as Christians. You know, we can be Christians and we can have that. We can always be on, but unless we are people of prayer and people, we won't be fine-tuned to hear the Spirit of God speaking to us. You know, we need, and it's the call of God is birthed in us through prayer. And that's, because that's what Nehemiah did. He says he went, as soon as he heard the news, he sat down, he wept, and he mourned for many days, fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Now everything that comes from here on in Nehemiah was birthed at this time in Nehemiah. In this time of fasting and praying before the God of heaven. You know, God began to speak to him. God began to show him things. You know, I was... I believe God called me to ministry when I was, again, about the same sort of age, about 10 years old. Now, I didn't know what God had called me to. You know, we used to have in the church, we used to have people come and go in the church, and people come through, they used to share and preach, and they'd be there for a few services and then they'd go away. Because that was their ministry. They came, they were travelling ministries. We tended to refer to them as evangelists. And the church only recognised, and I think still does to somewhat today, only really recognised the pastoral ministry and its setup. And we had these men come through, and you know, I called them evangelists, but maybe some of them weren't. Maybe they were teachers, some of them. A lot of them were evangelists. But anyway, they came through, and I believe God called me to the ministry there. But I didn't know. All I knew at that time was that I was to be a preacher. Because I'd looked at these men and perhaps aspired to some of the things that they were doing. But I didn't know for certain what that... would be, and I perhaps looked at them and thought, well, maybe because that's all I knew, that's what God was calling me to. And it wasn't until a few years later, I was just before my 16th birthday, or just after my 16th birthday, I was praying again, and you know, God clearly then began to speak to me from his word. And that brings me on to the next point. Yes, our call is birthed in prayer, but it's rooted in the Word of God. You know, God's Word, and God gave me a scripture in the room of the house I was in on that particular occasion. You know, and that scripture I've gone back to time and again, and even this last week, I've said, actually telling God, and I'm not... I say, Lord, I says, and I give him the verse. You remember, Lord, you remember the word, God, that you gave? And almost God said, yeah, I remember. Now, I remember that word. You know, it's rooted in the word of God. And that's what you see here in Nehemiah. He starts to pray. But then he says to God in verse 8, he says, remember, God, the word that you spoke. You commanded your servant Moses. That if your people were unfaithful, you'd take them into another nation. But you promised your servant Moses that if they returned to you, you'd bring them back to their land. He starts putting God in remembrance of his word. He starts saying, look, this is what you said, God. And that's built into the call that God's putting on his life at this time. Yes, he's praying, he's bringing to God what he's promised. And he's building his case, if you like, before God. Now I was, as I said, that scripture God gave me when I was 16. You know, quite a few times last year I brought that verse before God. I said, God, you remember this word? You know, you called me, this was what you promised me. Because I believe God was shifting things in the spirit. regarding ministry. And I've quite a few times said, God, this is what you've promised. This is what you've promised me. And I'd turn it up and I'd read it. And I said, God, this is it. You know, and I've had, and I shared with you just last time we were here, just back in September last year, I was at the IGO conference, and I was waiting upon God. I was praying. I shut myself in the room one afternoon, just praying, and God gave me a vision. And as I shared that last time we were gathered together, and that night, as I was pondering on this vision, you know, the brother that preached the word, he came and stood right in front of me. I didn't expect it. But he came and stood right in front of me, and he laid his hands on my head and began to prophesy, and then he prayed for me. You know, the essence of the prophecy was that God's going to, really, God's just confirming what he'd already shown me in the afternoon and what I believed he'd been speaking to me in those weeks leading up to that point. And he said that God was going to begin to reveal some things, like when you draw back the curtains. That was the phrase, like the drawing back of the curtain. When you open your curtains in the morning, you see the world afresh again, another new day. And God was going to begin to do that, and he says a new sphere and a new took that area of ministry, and God's gonna, he began to sort of share a few things. But even so, I had that prophecy, I had that vision, still was wanting a word from God, still wanted something from the scriptures, you know, just like Nehemiah here. You know, and then it came, I was away working actually, up in I was stopping over one night up in one of their branches, Bouquet branches, and I was in the hotel, and I was just, again, just praying and reading the word, and, you know, God spoke to me from the book of Deuteronomy, and it was this scripture here. Then in Deuteronomy verse 1, it was verses 6 and 7 and 8, verse 6, 7 and 8. God here says, as soon as I got this, God said, there's your scripture. Because he knew I was waiting for a scripture. He said, there's your scripture. And it was this, it says, you've dwelt long enough at this mountain. Now turn and take your journey and go to the mountains of the Amorites. And it goes into a few other places. And then in verse 8 it says, look, see, I've set the land before you, go in and possess the land. So there came the scripture. You know, that call, it's birthed in prayer, it's founded and rooted in God's word. You know, any prophecy we get, any vision we get, any prophetic utterance that is given over us, we must always have a root in the word of God. We shouldn't rely on prophecies, we shouldn't rely on visions, we shouldn't rely on that inner witness of the Spirit. We should go to the word of God and allow God just to confirm through his word what he's telling us to do. You know, every stage in Nehemiah's calling was founded on the word of God, or it came as a result of his praying. Just a couple of minutes just to finish this little bit here. I said that I knew I wanted to preach, or that's what I felt God was calling, but I didn't quite know what he was calling me to. I didn't know whether it was apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, or whatever. You know, in every stage, I want to just Let's just go, just turn into chapter 2 for a minute of Nehemiah. Because in verses 4 to 8, we read this. It says, "Then the king said to me," he says, "what do you request?" So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said to the king, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it." You see, like Isaiah, Nehemiah was praying, "God, what about the nation? What about the city of Jerusalem? What's going to happen about this? What are we going to do about this?" Well, not so much what we're going to do, but "Lord, do something." And then I'm sure, although it's not recorded in scriptures, like Isaiah, Nehemiah heard as well. It says, "Well, who are we going to send then? Who's going to go for us?" And I'm sure at that point, then Nehemiah realizes that, "Oh, yeah, God, that's me. You're sending me." at every stage in fulfilling the call of God, or every one of the strategies, if you like, or the steps, have got to come from God. You've got to inquire of God like David did of old. We haven't got time tonight to look at David, and perhaps we'll look at it next week. But David says in quite a few times, he said he took time. He didn't assume that what he was doing was what God wanted him to do. He took time to ask God and inquire of God and seek God. "God, do you want me to go after the Philistines? Do you want me to pursue them?" Then when God says, "Yes, go and pursue them," he didn't assume that he was going to get the victory. He said, "Well, will you give them into my hands?" He says, "Will you deliver them into my hand? Will I have the victory?" And then God says, "Yeah, go," he says. And he says, "You're going to get back everything. You're going to be victorious." And quite a few times David was like that. As Nehemiah began to pray, yes, the thing was, a bit like me. I knew I was called to preach, but I didn't know what or where or how. And the king says to Nehemiah, "Well, how long's your journey going to be?" And Nehemiah set a time. And then Nehemiah says, "He says, there's a few things I'm going to need for my journey." He says, "One," he says, "I'm going to." Basically what he said here in verse 7, he says he wants letters to be given for the governors of the regions, of the lands that he's going to pass. In other words, what he said, he says, "I'm going to need a visa. I'm going to need travel permits. I'm going to need a passport. Give me letters for these governors of these nations so they will permit me to pass through so I can get to Jerusalem." And then he says, "I'm going to need materials when I get. I'm going to need wood. I'm going to need stone. I'm going to need all these things. So give me letters for the keeper of the king's forest, that he will give me timber to make the beams for the gates, for the temple, for the city wall." He says, "For the house that I've got to live in when I'm there." And he says, "The king granted them to me according to the good hand of my God." He didn't just say to the king, "Look, I've got to go to Jerusalem. God's calling me to Jerusalem. God's calling me to do." He sought God as to what that every stage, every strategy, every step. And it came to, we're told to write the vision in Habakkuk 2 to make it plain. And you'll see why next week when I go on, because we need to know what God has said to us. So write it down. Set it, make it plain, so that you can refer to it again and again. So herein, catching the vision, catching the call of God, it's birthed in prayer, founded and rooted in the Word of God, and every stage of it comes from God. It's not our vision. We mustn't be swayed by what men want. We must know what God has said to us. Now, a lot of people will try and have their input. Churches, men, situations that we find ourselves, they'll try and get us to go their way, but we've got to know we're going God's way. We've got to know what God wants us to do, what he's called us to do. That's why we should write it down, so we can refer to it time and again. Now I'll finish there, because time's gone on us. We'll pick it up again next week. Catching the vision. from Nehemiah. And